It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right. You're listening to You Talk to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. And my guest today says dieting does not have to be so serious. Lisa Verace is a stand-up comic and actress. She's written The Diet Joke, and she joined us on You Talking to Me. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Great. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you're a stand-up comic, and maybe you can start off by telling us how you got involved in doing comedy.
I was acting, and I have done a lot of sketch writing, and then I decided to segue into stand-up comedy and try just writing a different format, or I guess that's the word for it.
Okay. So where have you performed?
I perform at the Comedy Store in La Jolla. I've performed at the Ice House up in Pasadena, different places, mostly in Southern California.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of training have you had for comedy then?
Well, in general, stand-up comedy training is you just get out there and do it. It's
mm-hmm.
one of those things that you
maybe come
don't
natural.
Learn until
yeah.
you start doing it.
And I find...
I didn't go to stand-up comedy college, but...
Okay.
I should have.
Sort of at the other end of the spectrum, I guess, from comedy, sort of. You were news... radio writer and reporter?
Yes, that's right. I wrote for news radio. I was a sort of a journalist major in college, and then went on to get another degree in English. So I've always been writing and performing, and so those two interests of mine come out in different ways. So they come out through sketch writing, through theater,
mm-hmm.
They came out through news radio, and then they kind of combined for this book in the same way.
And now, are you doing any news radio now, or?
No, not okay. at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And you're also an actress. Were you doing that before comedy, or?
Yes, I've been doing that probably most for a large. I did that a lot in high school. I did a lot of that growing up, and so I think that you know most people who are performers experiment in different. Kind of arenas. I think that's kind of natural, and
mm-hmm.
it's sort of an exploration, and it's always kind of a challenge to learn a new style of performing.
Right.
So even though you may be really skilled at theater, to get up and then to try to perform stand-up comedy is a completely different skill, although there's definitely performance aspects to it. And so it's always challenging to try something different and something new.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about, I guess, some things about dieting and I guess kind of things, you know, related to that before we get into specifics of your book, I guess, but maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, some of the dieting facts, maybe what you know as far as obesity, weight loss in America and those kind of things, like what's happening in the area of dieting these days?
Well, what's happening in the area of obesity is a problem for America, and is becoming a problem worldwide. In America, right now, two-thirds of adult Americans are overweight or obese.
Mm-hmm.
And Americans spend more than $50 billion a year on weight loss products and services. So I think sometimes there's this sense of, do Americans not care about their weight, or they don't think it's important? I think that people... do care and want to get their weight in control, but it's very challenging.
Sure.
So the problem with this enormous market of weight loss products and services is, for the most part, they don't really help people achieve long-term success. So there's a statistic from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control,
mm-hmm.
that says that two-thirds of all dieters regain the weight that they've lost within 1 year of stopping the diet. And 97% of dieters regain it within 5 years. So that means there's this 3% success rate of people who diet and manage to keep it off long term.
Right. Dieting usually seems to refer to something, or at least what people perceive it as, a short-term goal. I'm going on a diet. It's a short-term thing to drop my 5, 10, 15, 30, whatever it is, pounds, and then I'm done.
That's so true. We think of it as a temporary period of deprivation, you know, that we have to undergo for a few weeks, and then when we're finished, we get to go back to what we were doing before. And of course, that's why it doesn't work. And in my opinion, one of the reasons that these meal plans that can be very expensive that people pay to go on, one of the reasons, in my opinion, they don't work is because they don't really train us to do that thinking for ourselves. So portions are pre-measured, and you're told what to eat and when to eat it. And I understand that that may help somebody begin a diet if they don't really know how to change their behaviors. But then the problem usually is that once they go off the diet, they haven't really taught themselves these new habits.
Right. So when you mention obesity, I mean, that affects, I've seen a lot of TV shows that kind of bring this up, affecting children as well.
Yes, there's rising obesity rates in children too, and I mean, there's a lot of factors for that. One of the factors is that children and Americans, but children especially, are snacking more often, and they're snacking differently than they did two or three decades ago, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Sure.
So maybe, you know, our parents remember snacking on fruit and maybe having a glass of milk when they come home from school, and now it's soft drinks and chips and salty snacks, and these are either high sugar or high salt snacks that deliver very little nutrients. They're really calorie, they're calorie dense, but they're nutrient vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the problem. And then, you know, a lot of schools, this is really tragic to me, don't even have a PE education anymore. And that, you know, used to be one hour of the day when you could be certain that your child was getting some activity. And that seems to be falling out of the school system.
And then as well, a lot of the diets are there are so many fad diets that I would imagine it's pretty confusing for people whether they should even, you know, attempt some of these different things.
Yes, and so I really don't believe in diets. I think that people have heard this. Well, it's funny because there's one of these weight loss program even uses the slogan diets don't work, and I agree with that. I think that people should throw out the idea of dieting and really start to pay attention to their behaviors,
mm-hmm.
and make small modifications that they can stick to for the rest of their lives. I mean, you know, here's a statistic that I think is really sort of shocking, and it's 3-4-50. So it's three behaviors: tobacco use, poor diet, and no exercise lead to four diseases, and those diseases are heart disease, type 2 diabetes, lung disease, and cancer, that cause 50% of death.
Wow.
So the key word in that phrase is that they're behaviors,
mm-hmm.
and behaviors are things that we can change. You know, we can't, there just recently was an article on the web, and they interviewed some, I want to say centenarians, people who are living to 100, and they studied their behavior, and it turned out that some of them had very good habits and others of them didn't have such great habits, but they had a strong gene pool. Now, that's something we can't change. We can't change our gene pool, but we can change our behavior.
And obviously, diet advice is everywhere. Maybe you can talk a little bit about the advice that we seem to get sometimes from celebrities such as Oprah or Christy Alley.
Well, Christy Alley, of course, was very vocal and very out there with her weight loss through I think it was Jenny Craig, through whatever company she was, and she had her big bikini reveal on Oprah.
Right.
And then, of course, a lot of us watched her gain the weight back. So I always try to remind people that, you know, when celebrities are endorsing something, we as regular people have to remember that they're being paid to endorse it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even the same thing with fashion. So you see all the celebrities and they're carrying the very expensive bag that costs $1,000. Well, they were given that bag so that they could be photographed in it, so that all of us regular people would kind of want to be like them and
right.
buy the expensive bag that they got for free. So I always try to remind, in the book, I try to remind people, you know, we have to use our common sense and make decisions for ourselves that are separate from what celebrities are telling us what to do. And
right.
we're so celebrity-driven in this country. I mean, I wait in line at the grocery store, and the first thing I grab is people or us or, you know, I get it. It's fun. It's fun to follow celebrities. But they don't always have the best advice. At one point I said taking dieting advice from Oprah is like taking marital advice from Tiger Woods. So, you know, they're interesting people, and they're certainly extremely talented in the things that they do, but they're not God. They don't know everything.
Sure. They're in the public eye, and they actually diet themselves, and so they offer their two cents, I guess, and they're not always the right people, I guess, to listen to. What do you think?
No, and when you think about Oprah, who has a private chef and has a personal trainer,
mm-hmm.
and even she struggles to maintain her weight, I mean, that really sort of drives home the idea of how challenging it can be for all of us.
Sure, right. What do you think about TV shows like The Biggest Loser?
Well, I'm not a fan of them, and the reason is, first of all, anytime we're watching a reality show, and this is one thing that you learn, I think most people know this, but certainly if you're acting, you hear about reality television.
Sure.
They push the drama, and that's what they may have 3 hours of tape, and they're going to pick the 5 minutes of the, just sort of the breakdown, because that's the dramatic part. But The Biggest Loser, to me, suggests to people that they can't do it on their own, that they have to have a personal trainer, that they have to be in the gym for grueling sessions that last 5 or 6 hours a day. They're exercising to the point that, you know, in the first couple of episodes, they're throwing up and people are crying. And if I were watching that and I needed to lose, say, 100 pounds, I would get discouraged. I would think, you know, there's no way I can do that. The only way I can do that is if I get on The Biggest Loser or if I buy The Biggest Loser meal plan.
Right, yeah. Are there any... Are there any other reality shows that are like that, or is that it's only The Biggest
Loser
that I recall?
Well, there's an extreme.
But.
I guess there's like kind of an extreme makeover. I guess that's not quite the same. But one of the things I sort of think is funny is that there's this idea that like if whatever's wrong with our life, if we lose weight, then that will solve the problem. So a lot of people kind of have that idea. Oh, there's things in my life that aren't right, and including my weight. If I can fix that, that'll solve my weight problem. And that's not really the case. You know, that taking care of your weight and getting it under control and getting your health under control, that's about taking care of your body. And to me, that's a responsibility that we all have. But if there's other problems you have to work out, then
sure.
those problems are still going to be there. But going back to your question of, I just saw another one that struck me as odd. It was called Shedding for the Wedding.
Oh, okay.
It was two couples and couples, and then they're competing for a wedding. Everything's a competition. This is another thing I don't like about these shows, is that everything puts us against one another. And weight loss is a very difficult thing. To add an element of competition, to me, sort of makes it. You know, and then there's the sense of, oh, they're doing it for a prize.
Right.
So now people need to be motivated to lose weight. And I hope that just good health is what motivates us to take care of ourselves.
And on that note, we'll come back after this little break with Lisa. You're going to tell us about the secrets the dieting industry doesn't want us to know. And, of course, we'll also talk about your book. We'll be back right after this.
I'm the guy who overhears what you say and passes it on to the enemy. I seem to recognize some of you.
And I had put mustard and ketchup and relish in the usual. And I put the hot dog up to my mouth, and somebody started screaming.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone.
Froggy went a-courting, he did ride his sword and pistol by his side. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whenever folks are drinking, I am pretty certain to be around.
He tiptoed up to Miss Mouse's door. He gave three knocks and a great loud roar.
I was pretty jacked up on marijuana, so I decided to try it.
Here's someone else who did me a good turn.
CJAM FM 99.1 and CJAM.ca, Windsor, Detroit.
To help support individuals living with lung disease,
the Ontario Lung Association is hosting a race through Windsor where you and up to three friends can work together, completing challenges on the way to the finish line. It costs $25 per person, and all participants are asked to raise $125. Teams that sign up before September 12th can get 1 minute taking off their final time. All proceeds go to support the Ontario Lung Association. For more information or for sponsorship opportunities, please contact Gloria Fiaccio at 509-256-3433.
Okay, we're back. I'm talking to Lisa Padacci on, she's an actress, comedian, writer. We're talking about The Diet Joke. And also we're going to give away a couple copies of her book. And we'll get into that now pretty much. You say dieting is easier than dating. And what do you mean by that?
Well, the rules of dieting haven't changed. And we say diet, but let's talk about, if we use the phrase of losing weight. To lose weight, has the rules of losing weight haven't changed. You can, if you burn more calories than you consume, you're going to lose weight. And if you burn fewer calories than you consume, you're going to gain weight. So the rules haven't changed. And the rules of dating change all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, you can cheat on a diet and get back on track immediately without having to lie or see a therapist or buy something very expensive to get you off the hook. So losing weight, dieting, is more forgiving than just about any relationship we have, because it's just a relationship that we have with ourselves. And if we can learn to be very forgiving about the mistakes that we make and get back on track, that's a very easy thing to do.
So tell us about the book, The Diet Joke. Explain your title, I guess, and what the readers can expect from the book, actually, as well.
Well, I was prompted to write it because of this cultural thing that I see on television and in the magazine. And there's a saying that says the first thing that you lose when you go on a diet is your sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, the second thing you lose is some of your hard-earned cash. So I wanted to write a book that helped people keep both. So let's keep a sense of humor about it. Like, let's not bang our heads against the wall. Let's just start using our heads and making common sense choices about the foods that we eat, the amount of foods that we eat, and taking a look at, you know, whether or not we're getting enough physical activity. One in four adults don't eat, get five or more servings of fruits and vegetables, which is recommended, and 50% of adults don't meet the daily physical activity requirement. So mm-hmm. There's really simple things that we can do. And so my book is just kind of this humorous, I call it a reprogramming guide, a book to kind of ease people out of this dieting mentality of I'm going to go on a fad diet and try to lose a lot of weight really fast. My approach is, okay, let's kind of throw all that out the window. And I start out by talking about how diets don't work. And there's actually clues to fraud. These come from the FDA, the Federal Trade Commission, and the National Association of Attorneys General. These are words that they have identified as red flag words, and they're words like easy, effortless, guaranteed, miraculous,
mm-hmm.
magical. So if you see any product being sold to you, whether it's dieting or anything, it's like, okay, use some common sense. Like, it's probably not magical.
Right.
But we can make common sense choices. And so for anybody who's listening now, I would just say today, one thing that you can do to really improve your health is to cut out soda, because mm-hmm. soda's loaded with sugar. It's got a lot of calories and very no nutrition. So cut out soda, and then watch your portion sizes today. So whatever you normally eat, try to eat a little less than normal, what you're used to eating. We're all so used to gigantic portions. And then make sure you get 30 minutes of some physical activity today.
Sure.
So that's three things that you can do. It's not going to cost you any money. And it'll if you can do these kinds of things consistently, you'll improve your health. And you soda. Go ahead.
I was going to say you have some of that. You have that kind of information in the book as well?
Yes. It's all very practical. I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these diets that people are selling us on television, they're, you know.
They complicate them.
They complicate them, and then sometimes they require you to buy supplements. You know?
Right.
So any
mm-hmm.
kind of diet that's saying, okay, now you've got to buy these additional products, then that's usually something that we should be wary about.
Right, okay. And I believe your book has won at least one award that I know of.
Oh, yeah, it's done well. In fact, it just got honorable mention in the self-help category of the Forward Book of the Year Awards.
Great.
That was very exciting, and it's interesting because when I really set out to write it, because I was doing comedy, I set out to write a comedy book, like a humor book,
mm-hmm.
and as I started doing my research, I started to realize this is really kind of confusing. So the book turned, and this is where my news reporting started to come in, it turned more into kind of a humorous expose about dieting and as Americans, you know, becoming more responsible for our individual choices
mm-hmm.
and not really kind of throwing all of our decision making to people who, in my opinion, don't give a hoot about most average Americans.
Sure. I mentioned earlier around break time that we're going to give away a couple of your books, The Diet Joke. And I think what I'm going to do is... anybody that's interested in getting a copy of that book can email me at info@youtalkingtome.ca. That's info@youtalkingtome.ca. And the first two emails, let's say, will win a copy of Lisa's book, The Diet Joke. And try and mention that again around the end of the show. I'm sure there's many secrets that the dieting industry doesn't want us to know. Can you share some of those?
Well, I think the major one is that most of them don't work. And sort of say in the book that, you know, to me, the dieting industry is like Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
except that Las Vegas is a little more forthcoming. And that's mm-hmm. because there are two industries that are built on failure. So you go to Las Vegas, nobody promises you that you're going to win, but everybody wants to give it a go and throws out their money, and most people leave as losers. And the dieting industry, to me, is just, as I said, not as quite forthcoming about it because it's kind of the same thing working. A 3% success rate, any other business had a 3% success rate, they wouldn't be in business anymore.
Right.
But the diet industry still is. And then the other thing is how I said that some of these diets kind of want you to buy supplements. And one of the things that a lot of people don't know is that there's no provision with the FDA that requires these companies that make supplements to back up their claim. So
All right.
they can kind of claim anything, and we're just, you know, we're kind of silly if we believe it.
And in the book, you also you write about television food commercials.
Oh, yeah, I always think this is fascinating. And I think as an actor, this is probably why I'm more sensitive to it, because you asked, you know, if I had had any comedy, stand-up comedy classes, and that you learn by doing. But if you want to get into commercials, sometimes you take commercial classes and you learn very quickly about how commercials work. And what commercials are always doing is selling us the promise of a result.
Right.
So... And it's interesting, food commercials, they don't sell chips as kind of a salty snack that doesn't that tie in calories. They show the commercial as you open up a bag and all of a sudden friends start coming over and
mm-hmm.
people want to eat the chips with you. and now you're popular because you've opened up a bag of potato chips. And same thing with Olive Garden. Most people are very familiar with this. You watch that commercial, they're not selling you unlimited breadsticks, which is a very dangerous thing for most of us to have available to us because it's easy to eat a lot of them, and unlimited plates of pasta. What they're selling is this idea, oh, when you come here, you're family. And then they show right. everybody's happy and they're laughing. What they're selling us is never the product that we buy. It's the promise of a feeling that we'll get if we buy that product. And it really sort of takes, you know, I'm loving it. Come to McDonald's. It's all about, well, their campaign has changed over the years, but it's really not about the food.
Right.
But food should be about food. You know, I mean, this is a question I ask in the book that I think is so important. Why do we eat? You know, we eat to nurture our body. And so if we could just keep that in mind when we go through the day, what kinds of foods can I eat that are really going to take care of this body that I have, you know, that we don't get for a very long time.
Right.
If you just use that to guide your choices, then I think that we can all start taking better care of our bodies. And that's
very
all
good.
That's all I want to encourage people to do in the book.
Right. It sounds like you've tried to make that simple for people. And where can they contact you, or do you have a website or where they can find the book online?
Yeah, the website is www.thedietjoke.com. And if I see any kind of diet information that comes out that I think is kind of raises a red flag, I'll blog about that. And just other things I see. And then the book's on Amazon, too.
Mm-hmm. All right, we appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, and wish you great success with your book.
Great, thank you.
All right, thanks, Lisa.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, dieting is a serious business in America, and a great deal of money is spent and made in the industry. Dieting can be tough, and there are so many choices out there. Maybe we should look at it a little more lightheartedly. Dieting and stress are a losing combination. Maybe we can do it without the stress. Check out Lisa Padacci's book, The Diet Joke, and also the first two emailers at info@youtalkingtome.ca will get a copy of that book for free. The Diet Joke by Lisa Padacci. Visit thedietjoke.com for more information on Lisa and her book. And I'll see you next week when I have Artful Visions' Maxine Gardner on the show. Thanks for listening.